Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, clap your hands. Listen, it's your season to be blessed. God made you a promise. You stood the test. He's gonna open the window and pour you out a blessing. It's your season to be a blessing. Come on, it's your season, say. In the field. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed coming in. He's gonna open the window and pour you out a blessing. It's your season. Oh God, to be blessed. Come on, it's your season, say.
It's your season
to be blessed. Blood. But I'm standing here because of his blood. He's gonna open the window and pour you out a blessing. It's your season. Yes, it is. To be blessed. Come on, say it again. Say it.
It's your season.
To be blessed.
To be blessed.
God made you a promise. somebody say, what season is it? It's my season to be healed.
We thank God for him. Amen. To God be the glory. We just thank God today, and we want you to know that it is your season to be blessed. Amen. To God be the glory. We want to thank you once again, those of you who are returning callers, those are first-time callers, each and every one under the sound of my voice, out even in Facebook land. Welcome to MCI Radio Station and Blog Radio. We encourage you to just tune in, log in throughout the week, get some blessings, amen, that come across this blog throughout the week. Amen. Truly, we thank and praise God for being here once again. I'm going to start tonight a two-part series tonight. Amen. It's in two parts because I like to cover the whole chapter. Such a blessed cluster of scripture from the Apostle Peter. So it's in 1 Peter chapter 2. Praise God. Starting at verse 1. Amen. And we just thank and praise God once again for each and every one. And we're going to go right into the word. Amen. We're not going to waste any time. Amen. I tell you. God didn't really give me something to title this series. But right before I came on, I just heard something in my spirit. We won't get to it tonight because it's in the latter part of the chapter, but I want to entitle it, True Lovers, and I'm Ashamed. Amen? You understand if you log in tonight and next week, you'll truly get the answer. But he says, I have two lovers, and I'm ashamed. I got that little saying from the commercial came on, two lovers, and I'm ain't ashamed. That's the old 1950-60 record, I guess. They said, two lovers, and I love them just the same. Amen. Well, we're going to go into that later on next week. We're going to find out that I don't even believe that's possible. Amen. To God be the glory. Let us pray, Father, in your glorious, priceless, immaculate name. We just glorify you once again, Lord God, for the opportunity to come before thy divine people. Bless them with a word. And we ask right now, God, that you open up the hearts and minds of the hearers. Have them open up their tent doors. Look, God Almighty, heist up their windows. Open up their doors and allow the word of the Lord to come on in. Amen. Praise God. I trust that you have it by now. 1 Peter chapter 2, he says, wherefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, all hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking. Praise God. We don't have enough time to dig into each one of those attributes, but he's talking about a cluster there of attributes, and for the sake of where we're going, I want to let you know those are all learners. Traits. Those are all learned along your life, along your journey. You were not born with envy. You were not born, glory to God, speaking malice. See, you weren't born. So he said, when you come over to God, he's asking us to lay aside all of these things because they are the wrong character trait for where you're going. So tonight, the first portion of 1 Peter, we're going to dig into how God prepares the vessel. God, when he called us to do something or to be something or to walk with him in his presence, he will prepare us and instruct us how to move in the spirit, how to move by the comforter leading. So after he tells us to lay down that list that we've learned, those are all learned things, glory be to God, things that we have picked up in our natural living. He said, when you lay that down, I need you to be as a newborn babe. And I know we use that scripture a lot, talking about babes in Christ and those of full age, because this is insinuating, or this is a typology, as though they are talking of a natural infant. That's the analogy that they're using here. So stay with me, because we got to lay the foundation. It's going to get easier. Just hang in there with me. Watch now. They said you have to be as a newborn baby. They never said that you have to stay a newborn baby. But we all know that whenever we all started on this journey, we was like a newborn baby. Come on, somebody. Sometimes even if you grew up in church, by the time you got serious with God, you were a baby. Because nothing, you had no intake. But now he says what? Now, here's the catch. As a newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Now, watch what he's saying. He's saying that from a babe stage to your perfected stage, or the stage that Peter's going to deal with in chapter 2, he says the way of getting there is by the word. He didn't just say the word, but he said the sincere milk of the word. Now, the sincere milk of it is the ingredient that caused growth. Come on. You see, everything in the word here don't cause growth. But you'll grow by it, but it's not meant to cause growth. What he's telling them is that there's certain things in the word that is sent to cause you to grow in grace. Y'all don't hear me. And then the knowledge, amen, and that's God for revelation to that. But it is. It's certain things that's directed to your growth of your spirit. Hallelujah. That's why he said lay aside the malice, the guile, hypocrisy, envy, evil speaking. Know why? They stunt your growth. Can I take my time today? You know, I was told as a child, and I used to go, I want to go with my dad to work and or ride with my mom to take him, and he used to get his thermostat in, and fill it up with coffee. I said, let me have mom, let me have a sip. He said, no, boy, that's going to stunt your growth. Long story, I mean, short story long, then it had to be. But the point is, they always said that coffee stunt your growth. I want to let you know those things right there. If you don't lay aside those things, it's going to stunt your growth. Let's move on. Glory to God. So he's saying, as a newborn babe, watch this. He said, you got to desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Now watch how he put babe and grow together. He says, if you're a babe and you drink, get the sincere milk, you will grow. But watch this. He never said when you grow, you're not desire. Come on. I just made foundation to get started. He never said, glory to God, that lose your desire. What the revelation in that scripture is, no matter how long you've been in God, no matter how much you didn't eat and feasted on the word of God, glory to God, what he's saying is that even as you grow, your desire cannot change. You have to still have to desire as a newborn babe. That's why he said as one, not one, but even as one, no matter how grown you get, you still got to be as a newborn babe. What is a newborn babe? He has a desire. He has a desire for sincere milk. And sometimes we learn so much of the word, we lose our desire to tug at God for revelation. We lose our desire, glory to be to God, to get the fullness of what the scripture is saying. And we take it for what we first read it as to mean. I want to let you know today, when you get in this word, you can read the same scripture a year later and get a whole new revelation. Don't you lose your sincere, your desire, hallelujah, for the sincere milk of the word. Let us go on. Let us go on. Watch this now. Watch this. He said, don't you dare lose it if so be. See, that word is going to produce something. So verse 3 says, if so be that you have tasted, if you get in this word, you will taste and see that the Lord is good. See, and he says, glory be to God, you will never lose your desire if you have tasted. Now watch what he said. Tasted what? He said, tasted is gracious. Can we take our time and dissect this chapter today? That word gracious, watch this. This, because it's going to lead us where we're going. The word gracious means, and I'm ad-libbing, that Jesus has not decided to make an example out of you. Now, y'all don't hear me. See, gracious, somebody being gracious to you, that's a word that royalty always used. See, and because they was royal, the word gracious means I'm not going to make an example out of you in dealing with you from the standpoint where you're at. Hear me. Royalty was on a whole different level. Hallelujah. See, and the service was on a whole nother level. You were like a peasant. And that's where they got the word royalty from. It's when those on a higher echelon deal with you, but not in a harsh way. Somebody ought to tell God thank you. When Jesus Christ came, he could have dealt with all of us a certain way. Hallelujah. But he was gracious unto us. And that word gracious means he decided not to make an example of you. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad he didn't make an example of you? I'm so glad he didn't make a total example of me. He had made one in some places. He maybe made some in some parts of your life, some time in your life. But thank God he didn't make your whole life an example for what mankind deserves. All right, somebody ought to say thank you. This is where we're going now in this chapter. Come back next week. You got to get part two. So watch what he said. If you recognize that God could have dealt with you one way, look, God Almighty, but he chose through his love to deal with you another way. Ah, glory be to God. You'll love him. You'll keep that desire. You'll never want to get out of his presence. Now, that's what the word says in verse 4. It says, now to whom, talking about Jesus, as unto a living stone. Woo! About Jesus, when he came, and he treated us gracious, even though he was a living stone. Let's break this thing down now. He was a living stone. That means he had life. St. John chapter 1 says, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. It said that the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And they said he came to us as a living stone. I hope y'all reading with me. Verse 4. Disallowed indeed of men. Disallowed. You know what they meant? He wasn't received. And I want to let you know today, you may be disallowed by men. They may not want to receive your ministry. Y'all ain't talking to me yet. They may not want to receive the word that you preach or teach. They may not want to receive you as a person. Don't you worry, because they said when Jesus came, he was a living stone. Look, God Almighty, he had life inside of him, but he was disallowed by men. Look, God, stay here with me. Watch what it says. Indeed. Now what? The Bible says in John 1, let me just add this in. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, as many as will believe on his name. So what he's saying is nobody embraced him. Can you imagine you come to save the world and nobody embraced you? Isaiah 53 says that, glory be to God, that he was despised and rejected. A man of grief, acquainted with sorrow. And we hid as if it was our faces from him, as if we were ashamed of him. Look, God Almighty. And Isaiah 53, it also said that he had no beauty that we should desire him. Come on, somebody. We had nothing that man loves so much to draw him. And you may be without beauty for ashes. You may be disallowed by man. Y'all ain't talking to me. But they didn't stop there talking about Jesus. They said he was disallowed by men, but chosen of God. Because God Almighty, can I take my time tonight? I'm going to tell you, you might be disallowed of men. They may not call you into their arena. Come on, somebody. They may not call you into their special group. Y'all ain't talking to me. You may not be one of their respected of persons. You're disallowed by men. But it doesn't matter long as you're chosen by God. Y'all ain't talking to me. He said, but chosen by God. But God Almighty, that's something I want you to realize tonight. Long as you know you've been chosen by God, hallelujah, you can be disallowed by men. Long as you know you've been chosen by God, you don't have to be a man pleaser. Long as you know you've been chosen by God, hallelujah, it's better to obey God than man. Good God Almighty, I just want to let you know they did the same thing to our Lord and our Savior. He was disallowed of men, but he was chosen by God. Not only was he chosen, next word says precious. Do you know that if God chooses you, it's because you are precious to him? You are valuable to him. Good God Almighty, I want to let you know I'm laying the foundation before you see how somebody may try to love two masters. That's for next week. You make sure you come back. But I want to let you know and prep your spirit, position you to let you understand you are precious in the sight of God. Don't you keep looking at yourself through the eyes of the devil. Don't keep looking at yourself through the eyes of the saints of God. Don't keep looking at yourself through the eyes of your guilt and your shame and your defeats and your failures. Good God Almighty, you got to start seeing yourself through the eyes of God. You may be disallowed by men. Men may write you off. Men may count you out. Men may not include you. They may not give you no honor. But if you're chosen by God, I want to let you know that you are precious. Hallelujah. He said, precious. Watch it, verse 5. He said, ye also. Meaning, glory be to God. The same blessing that fell on Jesus Christ. Good God Almighty, it has fallen on you. And you are seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Good God Almighty. So you got to understand, you got to start living from a heavenly standpoint. Good God Almighty, you got to start seeing from a heavenly standpoint. You got to stop believing all the time the truth and believe in thy truth. Y'all don't hear me today. I said, that's right. Is thy truth the truth? Sometimes. Sometimes thy truth is the truth. Hallelujah. But a lot of times, the truth is not thy truth. And who am I talking about? I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the Father in glory. Thy truth shall be your shield and buckler. Come on. Thy truth says that you're more than a conqueror through him that loves you. Thy truth says no weapon formed against you can prosper. Thy truth says greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. So I don't care what the truth is. Sometimes you got to hear thy truth. Hallelujah. Take that thing. Put it inside you. He said, I was disallowed of men. But I was chosen by God. Good God Almighty. Do you know when you're chosen by God, you won't let go? Hallelujah. Do you know when you're chosen by God, you'll put up with anything that you have to put up with? Hallelujah. Do you know when you're chosen by God, the blessings of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow? Hallelujah. Do you know when you're chosen by God, he'll open up a door that no man can ever, ever, ever close? When you're chosen by God, good God Almighty, things will fall on you. You'll have favor with man. You'll have favor, glory be to God, in arenas you never thought you would ever be in. Good God Almighty, it'll catapult you to places you thought you'll never go. You'll live in houses that you didn't build. Y'all ain't talking back to me. I'm talking about being chosen of God. You'll have the power, the authority that's needed. Hallelujah. Day by day. Somebody ought to say amen. He said, I was chosen of God. Verse 5 says, ye also, as lively stones, not in our fleshly state, but in our lively state, ye are built up a spiritual house. Do you know that you got to be built up sometimes? Do you know he's trying to let us see that moving from a babe stage or from the stage of where you're at or the stage to where he's calling you, sometimes you, it's some building that needs to be done. It's some building in a lot of us that need to be done. Hallelujah. It's nothing wrong with not being everything that you are going to be. Sometimes you just got to thank God that you ain't what you used to be and let him build you up just a little bit more. Good God Almighty. Somebody say, build on me, Lord. Hallelujah. You got to let him build you up. He said, we are built up a spiritual house. Glory be to God. You wasn't as spiritual as you are now when you first started. Hallelujah. You're not as spiritual as you're going to be if you keep on running. Hallelujah. He said, we are built up a spiritual house. Hallelujah. Are you letting him work on you? Are you letting him build up your spirit, man, on the inside? Glory be to God. Are you learning, hallelujah, how to operate the things of God? Are you learning how to talk like God? Are you learning how to walk like God? Are you learning how to love like God? Are you learning how to war like God? You got to be built up. Hallelujah. He said, just like Jesus, we are lively stones. And we're built up a spiritual house. He's not talking about a church. He's talking about your temple. Hallelujah. It's built up as a spiritual house. Watch what he says about the spiritual house. He says, in holy priesthood, every house has a priest. Every spiritual house, every church, every temple has a priest. So he says, I'm going to build you up, Halabashanda, and cause you to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, so that with thanksgiving, hallelujah, you can become a living sanctuary. He says, you build up a spiritual house. Come on, somebody. A royal priesthood. You know what he's talking about? He's taking us back to Old Testament worship. See, when he says in holy priesthood, he's talking about Old Testament worship. See what? Back in the Old Testament, only the priesthood could enter in the spiritual house. See, only the high priest. See, but now what he's saying is you are become that spiritual house. He's saying you can come in to the outer court. Woo, glory to God. You can go in to the inner court. Y'all ain't talking back to me. You can go in to the holies of holies. Step behind the veil of your heart. Y'all ain't talking back to me. He said you are holy priesthood. You built up a spiritual house, and you are the priest. He said you got the power, you got the authority to step behind the veil. That's why he used that terminology. Did the veil rip? Did the veil of your heart split? Halabasha. When you went behind it with a sacrifice to God, what he's saying is you have the ability to do sacrifice to God, like the Old Testament priesthood. He said, I made you a holy priesthood. Yes, in my presence. And watch some things split. Hallelujah. Watch some things end. Watch some things reconnect. Lay the foundation and open up the way to where I want you to come. Hallelujah. He's talking Old Testament worship. Holy priesthood. Watch what else he said. I'm making you that spiritual temple so that you can offer up spiritual sacrifices. I'm going to read some more. Spiritual sacrifices. Watch what he says. acceptable to God by Jesus Christ, only because of what Jesus done. He said, I am making you. You don't, not that we don't need the church, forsake not to assemble of yourselves together as a matter of some. But so much the more as that day approaches. So you need a church so that you can bear witness with each other. And there's other and a whole lot of reasons that we need that, go to church. But more than that, you have to be the church. He says, I have made you, glory be to God, a spiritual. You're built up to a spiritual house. And I'm making you the holy priesthood so that you can offer spiritual sacrifices, bodily exercise, profit little, people of God. Yeah, it's good to praise it. Good to clap your hands. It's great to stomp your feet. It's good to run through the building and pick it up and put them down. Y'all ain't talking to me. But that's bodily exercise. It is some profit, but it profit little. What you got to do is see what you need to sacrifice spiritually to God. Can I talk to you today? Are you ready to sacrifice anything spiritually to God? I'm not talking about sacrificing an hour or two to go to church. Ha! Come on, somebody. I'm talking about what is God deserving of you spiritually. Are you ready to sacrifice it? Or are you going to hold on to it? Oh, wait till we get to part two. Two lovers. We should be ashamed if we so tasted that he's gracious to us. He could have dealt with us a whole different way. Glory be to God. But instead, he made us, he built us up to become spiritual houses. Hallelujah. Not just so that we can feel better about ourselves. Not just that we can feel better than other houses, other saints. No, come on. Not just to enjoy the presence and not share what we have experienced in his presence. No, he did it so you can offer up sacrifices. Here it is right here. Not just for yourself. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 1 says, every high priest is taken from amongst men and ordained for men, baptized men, so that they may offer, watch what it says. Let me turn to that. But I think I'm quoted, that they can offer both sacrifices to those who are ignorant and out of the way, seeing that they themselves are compassed about with infirmity. You know what that's saying? God takes a regular person, somebody that says yes with everything inside of them, and he'll take them and he'll use them to offer spiritual sacrifices. He says that they can offer gifts and sacrifices to those that are ignorant and out of the way. Look, God Almighty, is your sacrifices that you've given to God, hallelujah, helping somebody that's out of the way? Helping somebody that's ignorant. I want to let you know, glory be to God, God will make you strong, hallelujah, so that you can help somebody else. I don't want to go ahead of myself. There's so much here, but I got to do it chronologically. Make sure you come back next week. We're going to put icing on this cake that we're baking. Amen? Watch this. He says, I want you to offer spiritual sacrifices. He said, this thing is about spirit. It's not about natural. Stop using natural weapons. See, the weapons of our warfare are not natural. They are not carnal. The weapons of our warfare are mighty. Hallelujah. Through God. Pulling down a stronghold. Casting down imagination. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought back to the obedience of Christ. See, so people, God, what are you saying? I'm saying that we've got to start doing more work in the spirit. Natural things don't listen. Gossiping ain't helping. Haven't you recognized that talking about somebody haven't helped them? That tearing them down don't help them? That losing sleep don't help you? That's running all over asking man to work it out for you has not helped? Hallelujah. We've got to work in the spirit. He says, sacrifice in the spirit. There's nothing too hard for God, but we got to operate the things of the spirit. Amen? Let us move on a little bit more. Watch this now. He says, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture. I'm going to say it again. See, I'm sorry, people of God, but I don't want to say I'm sorry, but bear with me. The way to read the word, you got to read it slow. You don't want to read over anything. So watch what he said. It's contained in the scripture. That's why I said what I just said. Don't you know anything you need is contained in the scripture? Hallelujah. Your answer is contained in the scripture. Your way made is contained in the scripture. Y'all ain't talking back to me. Glory be to God. I can feel it in the spirit. But I hope you're catching it now, because anything you need is contained in the scripture. You don't got to get on the phone. You don't got to call and put your business all out in the street. It's contained in the scripture. You don't have to worry about where the money's coming from, where the blessing's coming from. How to release it is contained in the scripture. Hallelujah. You don't know the will of God? It's contained in the scripture. So I want to encourage you today, go to the scripture and get the answer you need. Get the word you need. It's not in the prophet. It's contained in the scripture. Hallelujah. It's not in the prophet. This is in the scripture. But watch what he's ready to tell us. Something else that's contained in the scripture. We're only in verse 6, y'all. All right? Watch this now. What is contained in the scripture? He says, behold, I lay in Zion. I put this in the church. I put this in the midst of the body of Christ. What did you put there? He said, I lay in Zion a chief stone. A chief stone. Elected. I can't go fast. He said, I lay a chief stone. Now, I don't know if anybody knows about buildings, but when he's talking about he's building us a house, he's trying to let us know, I put the first piece there. I am the foundation of the house that's being built up, a spiritual house. Let me help us here today. Glory be to God. He said, a chief stone, meaning the most important stone. Do you know who put the most important stone in your life is? Do you know who the most important stone or rock in your life? I pray that you build in everything upon a rock and not on sinking sand. Jesus is a rock. He's a rock in a weary land. He's a rock in the time of storm. He's a rock. He's a shelter. And he said, I lay in Zion a chief stone. What? It's precious. It's elect, number one. That means it's purpose. It has a purpose. And it was precious. And he that believe on him should not be confounded. What? He that believe it. We know so many scriptures that the Bible declares. It says, he that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. See? Now we also know that if he that believeth shall be saved. See? But he that believeth not shall be damned. So watch what God is saying. this thing that I placed in the midst of you, in the midst of the temple, the holy person. He says, I put something for you to connect to, something for you to build on. First Corinthians says that no other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, Jesus Christ. He's the chief cornerstone. And anything we do, it has to connect to him. Praise God. It should connect to him. I'm just teaching tonight, people of God. We're not jumping and shouting right yet now. I'm teaching. Glory be to God. But hear what I'm saying, because it's very important. And the further we go, the more we're going to know. Because the more I'm going to show. No, come on, seriously. Seriously, now watch. Now watch. Watch, people of God. It says that he's the chief cornerstone. Watch. He says, and he, them that believe on him should not be confounded. You know what confounded is? Made a fool of, made an example of. If you believe God, he won't make you as an example. He won't deal with you harshly. That's what confounded means. It means to be dealt with harshly. If you keep your faith, God will build what he's building without ever having to be real harsh to you. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. I'm going somewhere now. He says, unto you which believe, he is precious. Watch what I'm saying. He said, glory be to God, this help that I put inside you. Good God, my God, take my time. See, a lot of times we don't use the chief stone, but the chief stone lines everything up. Anybody that know about building, it's the cornerstone. It's the head cornerstone. That's the first block that's made, and I don't care how high the building is going. It's that first chief cornerstone that sets it all in place and keeps it level. If you don't connect with Jesus, then you are going to be lopsided. You're going to live a life lopsided. Can I take my time? Good God Almighty. See, verse, this is part one now, y'all. Listen, you don't want to grow all lopsided. You know they sing them songs in church. This old building, keep on leaning. I got to move to a better home. Well, listen, your building shouldn't be leaning. It's leaning because you're trying to build things that don't connect. Help me here today. Listen, people of God, we cannot build things that don't connect to the chief stone. They have a saying that my father used to say a lot, all chiefs and no Indians. Everybody want to be a chief, but Jesus is the chief cornerstone, and we have to connect to the only chief that God appointed. Oh, come on, somebody say amen. It's tight, but it's right. We just teach it tonight. We may shout next week, people of God. Praise God. I'm shouting right now. See, but he says, watch what he says. He says, if you believe, if you understand that he's the way, the truth, and the life, you have to believe it. If you believe that God laid it there, if you believe that it's elect, it has purpose, if you can understand that he keeps you evenly toned in your walk, you ain't super salty that people run when they see you coming. I'm just teaching tonight. Sometimes, glory be to God, we can be over salty. But if we connect to the chief, he'll keep you balanced. Amen, somebody. Let us move on. Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. He said, and unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. How many of us know how precious the Lord is? See, look, I know because I know you know. If, when you start trusting God, seeking God, believing God, he show you how precious he is. And you understand how precious your relationship with him is. Good God Almighty, you understand how precious you feel with him. See, so people that believe what they try to let us see has a certain way of feeling about God. And if you're not, you don't get that warm desire, that precious feeling about your salvation. If you still feel like you don't feel happy about being saved, you dump down in the dumps, you come to church and you don't even expect anything anymore. I'm not saying you're there. I'm not saying anybody there. But if by chance you under the sound of my voice and you have lost that precious feeling, hallelujah, about your faith, then you got to connect again. It's time to reconnect. See? But to those that believe, he is precious. Watch this. But unto them which be disobedient. Can I take my time? I'm ready to close out tonight. We're getting close there. But watch now. He said, unto those that are disobedient. He's ready to speak to the spirit of disobedience now. Do you know that you will never know how precious he is if you keep disobeying him? Hallelujah. Some people don't understand that disobeying God is a type of disrespect to God. When you know that you're outright disobeying the voice of the Lord, the will of the Lord, the moving of the Lord, if you know you're living in disobedience, he's not precious any longer to you. And watch what happens now. He says, to them which are disobedient, then the same stone which the builders disallow, the same has become the corner. Watch what he's saying. He's saying it's nothing has changed from the day that the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Good God Almighty, from the time he came up out of the water in Matthew 3 at the baptism of John, and God and the Spirit of the Lord descended. And glory be to God, the heavens opened, and he said, this is my beloved Son, and who I'm well pleased. From that time forward, when he went into the wilderness and came back, he was disallowed by men. Good God Almighty, he was rejected and despised. He was turned his back on. Come on, y'all ain't talking to me. Good God Almighty, he was lied on. And I want to let you know, good God Almighty, hallelujah, that if you believe God and if you step into the work of God, if you step into your path with God, every day won't be easy. You don't hear me, but he's so precious that you'll never, never, ever go into a spirit of disobedience. Good God Almighty, how many people made up their mind that they're going to obey God from this day forward? Good God Almighty, you got to make up in your mind, glory be to God, that I will not live in disobedience. Good God Almighty, I may trip and I may stumble. Good God Almighty, I may even fall. But the righteous man falleth 7 times and he get right back up. I want to let you know today, you got to determine not to be disobedient, because it's a spirit, and that spirit will rest on you, and it'll get easier and easier to disobey God. You'll get slower and slower in the things of God. You'll get bound up, halabashanda, by the things of the enemy. Good God Almighty. So you got to tell yourself, hallelujah, I refuse to be a disobedient stone. Let's read on. Watch what he said. Verse 7. To them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallow, the same is made the head corner. That's letting you know that man, come on somebody, don't have no heaven or hell to put you in. Man don't have no authority over your life. Man cannot dictate your blessings that's coming. Look, God Almighty, man can, when man say no, and the devil say no, God still say yes. So that's what he letting them know. That man on the highest form of authority cannot change the plan of God for your life. So you got to believe God. So he says that he became the head of the corner. He became the head of the corner. Good God Almighty. A stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to those that be disobedient. Watch what he says. You're still a stone. Can we take our time? This is just part one, y'all. Y'all got to come back for part two. It's all going to make so much more sense. You'll understand why Peter dealt with this first before he got into these things to close this, what we call chapter two, out. It's very, very important. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Watch what he says. He says, a stone of stumbling. But you're still a stone. In Matthew 16, the Lord told Peter, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood have not been built this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. He said, I say therefore unto thee, that upon this rock I'll build my church. Upon this stone, he said, and thou art Peter. His changed his name from Simon to Peter. That the name Peter is Petra, which means a rock, a stone. So now watch what he says. Even those that are disobedient, you are still a stone. You're still a rock. But you have become a rock of stumbling. A stumbling rock. A rock of offense. And what he's saying there is that you're still called to be who you're called to be. A stone. A rock. You're just in disobedience. In this last few minutes, I'm going to tell us tonight, it's time for the church to start being a rock, a stone. Just because you're in church, you are not a pushover. Just because you are in the church, everything and everybody should not be using, abusing, getting over on you, manipulating you, and you, defeating you. You are a rock. You're a stone. He said, we are hard, good God Almighty. God made you hard. God made you with his character. Come on. Jesus was not soft. He was hard. Glory be to God. He was a rock. Good God Almighty. And it's time for the church to stand up and be a rock. Good God Almighty. Hallelujah. I ain't saying be mean. I ain't saying don't have the right spirit. But you have got to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We got to be harder than what it seems like. The Bible says endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Come on here. You cannot be a soldier and be soft. That's why so many things are happening in our church and our homes to our family, because we are soft and the enemy is coming hard and we're bowing down. Hallelujah. But no longer. No longer, because we realize that we are a stone. But some people are a rock of offense. Watch what he said. They got to beat it up. I got about 5 more minutes. Watch what he said. They stumble, a rock of offense, even them would stumble at the word, being disobedient. See? Now let me tell you this. Watch. Because disobedience, that's why they are stumbling. We don't stumble at the word for lack of understanding. You don't stumble at the word because you don't like what it's saying. Most times when we stumble over the word, it's because of our disobedience in other areas. Do you know that you can be disobedient in another area and it'll make you stumble on the word? It'll make you not receive the word. It'll make you fight the word. It'll make you try to change up the word. Good God Almighty, you'll try to flip the word and use it to fit you. That's because of disobedience somewhere. Amen, somebody. even those that stumble at the word. Praise God. But that's not everybody. And I'm praying to God right now, you're saying that that's not you. But you have to hear it, because you may have to share it with somebody else. But I want to let you know today, at the end of part one right here, you have been built up a spiritual house. You have been made a priesthood. Come on, somebody. You are precious in the sight of God. Good God Almighty. He said, but these other ones that are disobedient, good God Almighty, whereunto they were appointed. Let me tell you the last thing about disobedience. These people that walk in disobedience, not only disobedient to God, they're disobedient to the appointment. Good God Almighty. They know they've been appointed, and they made up their mind that they're not going to answer the call. Good God Almighty, they made up their mind that this thing ain't precious to them. But that's not you, and that's not me. He said, but ye are a chosen people. Good God Almighty, we are a chosen generation. Good God Almighty, I want to let you know today, God handpicked you. We're not living in the Old Testament, where if you were born, you were already made a child of Abraham. God said, I can raise, take these stones and raise up children unto Abraham. Good God Almighty. But you're living in the end time. And I want to let you understand that God knows your name. And that he handpicked you. He might have handpicked you from one of all your family. You may be the only one that he handpicked. Good God Almighty. But he may have, glory be to God, chose everybody in your family. It doesn't matter. He knows your name. Come on, somebody. He said, you are a chosen generation, good God Almighty, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Come on, somebody. He goes on to say that you're a peculiar people. Good God Almighty, you're not peculiar, glory be to God, because you don't do what other people do. You're not peculiar, glory be to God, because of the way you think or the way that you look. You are peculiar, glory be to God, because of what God made you out of. Good God Almighty, some people don't understand why you are peculiar, how you was one way, and when God came in, now you're a whole different person. Now you look different, you act different, you talk different. That's what's so peculiar. They don't understand how somebody that used to run the streets, somebody that used to fight, curse, and gamble, y'all ain't talking to me, somebody that used to lie, steal, and cheat, good God Almighty, now they have totally changed, hallelujah, their ways. They have totally changed their look. Good God Almighty, they have totally changed their friends. They have totally changed how they do things. And that's what makes you so peculiar, because now they see God where they once seen you, where they once seen the enemy. Good God Almighty, somebody ought to give God praise for that. He says, you're peculiar that you should show forth the praise of him who called you. Are you showing the praise for who called you? Are you magnifying him that called you? He said, you ought to show forth. What are you showing? What is your life showing? What are your words showing? Is it showing praise for him that called you? He called you out. He called me out. He called us out. But one thing about God, when God calls you out, it's personal. When God calls you out, he don't put you on blast. When God calls you out, he may whisper to you late in the midnight hour. Good God Almighty. And that's how you want God to continue to call you. You don't want him to call you out in front of the world. You don't want him to call you out like that. He said, so show forth the praises of him that called you, the God Almighty. He called you to become his. He called you to grow. He called you, glory be to God. Hallelujah, that you might show forth your appreciation, your praise of him that called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. You know, this is part one. I declare and decree unto you part two. Go ahead and look up chapter two ahead of me. You're going to see where we're going. Now that he got to set up and understand that he built us, he personally called us, he wants us to show forth the praises of him that called us out of darkness into the marvelous light. Now we're going to get direction next week. Please come back. We got a word for you. We want to be in your corner. And the fight has just begun. On 1 Peter chapter 2. You've got to come back and help me finish giving the devil a black eye through this chapter. The best is yet to come. The one thing about it, if it's in the word, it's undisputed. And I'm Bishop Thurman A. Butler, 1921 Darby Town Road, Undisputed Truth Ministry, where we make champions in Christ. We want to be in your corner. I want to help you be able to swing and not beat the air. Come on and grow with us. Amen. See you next week. Amen. Here on MCI Radio. To God be the glory. We love you. Come on back next week, 6 a.m. Amen. P.M. Praise God. God bless you. Praise God.
Coming tonight. I got a young man I wanted to introduce you to.
Yeah.
We call him Ike Knight.
Ike Knight.
Oh yeah, I'm a music major.
With tears rolling down your face, with your heart feeling like it's gonna break, when your earth feels like it's about to shake, when you've taken all that you can take.
Oh yeah.
Got somewhere to run. Don't worry about what you're going through. Instead of worrying, here's what you can do. Praise him anyway.
I got